Good morning and welcome to the table at Central UMC. We are so grateful to be here together this morning. My name is Linda, and along with Pastor Matt, we are the co-pastors of this beautiful congregation. Pastor Matt is homesick today, so this is the funny part. Now I get to preach his sermon, which he wrote, and I've told a few people already, but here's the inside thing. If I write a sermon, it's generally between 1,700 and 1,900 words. He writes a sermon, and it's more like 2,200 to 2,700 words. But he can deliver it, because he talks fast, in the same amount of time as I do my 1,700 words. Does that make sense? So I'm going to do 2,700 words today. I'm just telling y'all, you know, take a bathroom break and be ready. Be ready here and online, because I don't talk as fast as he does. We're going to begin worship with a beautiful, beautiful song, and it's new to us. And the woman who wrote it, Coco Love Alcorn. What a name. Yeah, we're going to start. We're almost going to start. It starts slow, and then it moves, and then it comes back slow, kind of like us in life, I think. So I'm going to invite us to stand as we hear and learn together Roots and Wings.
Got strong roots like a tree. Oh, how these things mean more to me. I got strong roots like a tree. All these things mean more to me. I got strong roots like a tree. All these things mean more to me. I got strong roots like a tree. All these things.
Strong roots like a tree.
Lately I've been thinking about roots and wings, how I need these things. I need roots in the ground to keep me strong, and I need wings so I can
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to continue to move in prayer.
How long does it take to make the woods? As long as it takes to make the world. The woods is present as the world is. The presence of all its past and of all its time to come. It is always finished, it is always being made, the act of its making forever greater than the act of its destruction. It is a part of eternity, for its end and beginning belong to the end and beginning of all things, the beginning lost in the end in the beginning. What is the way to the woods? How do you get there? By climbing up through the 6 days field, kept in all the body's years, the body's sorrow, weariness, and joy. By passing through the narrow gate on the far side of that field, where the pasture grass of the body's life gives way to the high, original standing of the trees. By coming into the shadow, the shadow of the grace of the straight ways ending, the shadow of the mercy of light. Why must the gate be narrow? Because you cannot pass beyond it burdened. To come in among the trees, you must leave behind the 6 days' world, all of its plans and hopes. You must come without weapon or tool, alone. Expecting nothing, remembering nothing, into the ease of sight, the brotherhood and sisterhood and siblinghood of eye and leaf.
This morning with my mind, yeah. Good morning. Sarneet Prasad, who's our Sunday morning coordinator, is also out sick today. So I'm Nancy Allen. I'm filling in for him. We welcome those gathering online at thetable.live. Our online host today is my friend Jay Phoenix. Today's bulletin is available with QR codes for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, you can text the word new to the number on the screen, and it's maybe not on the screen yet, 916-452, there we go, 5016. Texting new to this number will help you get connected with Sarneet and our co-pastors and help you learn more about our ministries. If you are interested in learning more about Table Farm, which is a small farm we operate in Hollywood Park, you can text the word farm to the same number. This will help you learn more about our farm and the ways we grow food alongside neighbors to give away through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. Growing in Faith is a six-week series designed for persons interested in connecting with others and learning more about how we share in life together at the table. We offer a newly six-week Growing in Faith series for newcomers beginning in September. So if you're interested, you can sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. As many of you know, Table Farm will be relocating to a new site at the beginning of November. So this is an invitation for those who would like to join us as we transition to this new space. You can register online and find out how you move a farm, because we're not really sure yet, but we're going to figure it out together. I would invite you to remain seated as we continue to move in worship to a song called Rock My Soul by Josh Garrels.
Child, I've been an orphan alone, looking for comfort for my soul. No matter how hard I try, no matter which place I go, nothing can heal me except you, Lord. You rock my soul. Thank you.
Yeah, man, you rocking my soul. I'm going to have to switch out of that a little bit. My name is Bob Martinez, and welcome to the table, whether in person or online. And right now we would invite our children to move with their volunteers, great volunteers, for the summer children's activities as we listen to some walking music. This morning comes from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version with some minor revisions for more inclusive language, and of course we invite you to follow along. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve the Lord in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. The Lord protected us along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord our God."
Matt and I preach very differently in one way, which is one of my inside nicknames for him is the professor, because he's a wonderful teacher and he's taught me a lot over the years. And so this is a beautiful message that he created I'm going to do my best to deliver, but it won't be as good as if he was here, of course. And a lot of what he wrote about we shared in common, so sometimes I'll say I and sometimes I'll say we. Next Sunday, our regional church, comprised of United Methodist Communities of Faith, we are from Northern California down to Bakersfield, all of Nevada except for Las Vegas. We will welcome a new bishop to our area. And we are grateful to bless and send Bishop Kristen Stoneking from this area later today in Davis. That will happen. As she prepares to journey to Denver to serve as the new bishop for that region of our denominations. And we will soon welcome our bishop, Bishop Sandra Olawine. my dad was a bishop. I used to tease him. They wear these pins to signify that they're bishops, and in only the way the child can bring the parent down to earth. I'd say, I think those are actually like suit bags, because you guys travel all over the world, all of the time. And so Sandy will be coming here, Kristen will be going there, they'll all get new training and they will all travel some more. So at some point, my guess is sometime in the fall, we will officially welcome and install our bishop. I don't know Bishop Sandy personally, but Pastor Matt was up in Spokane with her last month, and he spoke with her briefly, and she was elected to serve in this role. She has served, Bishop Sandy has, in many roles in her years as a pastor. a few of the ways that she has served has really struck us, both Pastor Matt and I, as significant for this very moment in the life of the wider church and the world. Early in her ministry, she was an associate pastor in Los Angeles to the Reverend James Lawson, who is a renowned civil rights leader. Later, she coordinated our United Methodist emergency response in Los Angeles following the acquittal of police and the beating of Rodney King, if some of us remember that tragedy. Bishop Sandy became the theologian in residence then at the Tantar Ecumenical Institute in Jerusalem, and served as the liaison into Jerusalem from 1996 to 2006 for our whole global denomination. So Bishop Sandy's journey in ministry is unique, and a recurring movement we witness in her life seems to revolve around conflict mediation and resolution. The two ways that people come together when there are two parties journeying to find peaceful solutions amidst disagreements. Bishop Sandy has been involved with this in her racial justice work on the ground in Los Angeles in her decade of navigating Palestinian and Israeli conflicts on the ground in Jerusalem. And beginning next Sunday, it's our sense that she will be on the ground here in Northern California to help our churches navigate conflicts which have been simmering for some time. To be clear, most of the conflict I'm referring to doesn't really relate to the day-to-day life of our life together here at the table, but those of us who were born into families, those of us who have navigated long-term friendships, those of us who have navigated working on a team, I think by the end of this I'll name everyone in the room. Those of us who have worked within any form of organization or institution, and even those who've been involved in church leadership, might just be able to attest to the fact that relationships can become conflicted over time, sometimes even toxic. If you've ever experienced this kind of conflict, I assume you can be my witness that resolving conflict is a really challenging journey. One consistent practice that most all forms of conflict resolution work utilizes is that of setting ground rules. I think we've heard of that. A simple Google search revealed a few common ground rules for the conflict resolution, which probably won't shock any of us. Number one, the Vegas rule. Everything that will be said in the meeting stays in the meeting. I never heard that as the Vegas rule. I like that. That's good. Two, seek first to understand, not to be understood. And three, tackle problems, not people. The potential list of ground rules can go on and on and on. This week we were struck, Pastor Matt and I listened to a podcast very often. It's called Poetry Unbound. It's connected to Krista Tippett and On Being. And there was a poem, we listened to it this week. It's from a couple weeks ago, and it's called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings by Joe Harjo. And Joe Harjo is part of the Muscogee Creek Nation and the 23rd Poet Laureate of the United States. The poem has six really stunningly evocative parts, but I want to share just the first part with all of us this morning. Set conflict resolution ground rules. Recognize whose lands these are on which we stand. Ask the deer, turtle, and the crane. Make sure the spirits of these lands are respected and treated with goodwill. The land is a being who remembers everything. You will have to answer to your children and theirs. The red shimmer of remembering will compel you up the night to walk the perimeter of truth for understanding. As I brushed my hair over the hotel sink to get ready, I heard, "By listening, we will understand who we are in this holy realm of words. Do not parade pleased with yourself. You must speak in the language of justice." Well, it's true that I've been in many conflicted contexts in which we've worked together to establish shared ground rules. We even do that at the beginning of growing in faith each time. Whether it's growing in faith, my old family, my role as a pastor, especially with couples, in couples work, to more formal settings of holding complicated conflict between colleagues and groups with divergent hopes and views. And I have never paused to focus on the ground in ground rules. The ground. Our hope this morning is to do just this, to pause and reflect upon how truly recognizing the ground beneath our feet, beneath this sanctuary, is a vital and often overlooked part of our life together in Christian community. So let me name clearly our awareness of the insidious ways dominant colonial Christianity, the loudest expressions of Christianity in our day, and perhaps in all days to this time, ignore, erase, and silence the sacredness of the ground. This isn't true, though, in Scripture. The reading today from the book of Joshua reminds us of how intimately connected the people of God are to land, how traumatizing displacement is, and how conflicts simmer around how we relate across difference to the divine and the ground. First, Joshua gathers all the people in Shechem. The land, the place, is named. Recognize Shechem is an important place for the northern kingdom. While Moses assembled the community for a final speech outside of the promised land, Joshua stands on ground within the promised land. The Israelites he gathers to stand on the ground at Shechem have survived the wilderness wanderings and the conquering of Canaan. The reading this morning is a part of Joshua's history lesson about the Israelites' past and also a clarion call to recommit their lives to God, who relentlessly advocates for the full freedom of all and celebrates in the goodness of the whole cosmos. Instead of taking us deep into the historical nuances of this ancient moment, I want to instead invite us to place ourselves, if we can, in that context. Allow yourself to be the assembled body. They stood on the ground at Shechem. We stand here in Sacramento, on the ancestral lands of the Nisenan people, and whatever other particular places, grounds others might be standing upon as you listen to this online. Joshua gathers a conflicted, divided people in his day and reminds them of their history with the lands and God. And ultimately, Joshua pronounces his recommitment to God and calls those gathered to do the same. What is our history? What is our personal and communal history with the land? What is our personal and communal history with the divine? What would it look like today for us to follow the people in Joshua's day in recommitting to revere and serve the God of liberation, specifically in how we relate to the land, the sacred ground? To be clear, the land is always itself undeniably tied into complicated realities of historical conflict, division, and tragic violence. That's quite a sentence. I'm going to say it again. To be clear, the land is always itself undeniably tied into complicated realities of historical conflict, division, and tragic violence. To consider our relationship with the land today as we wonder about what it means to revere and serve God ought to compel us always into recognizing, truly sitting with and holding the history of colonialism, which has decimated and continues to harm indigenous peoples and cultures. The lands in this region are scarred by the violence of white-bodied supremacy, our neighborhoods divided by policies, worldviews, highways, rooted in unconscious and insidious anti-Black racism, the way Highway 50 came and just cut neighborhoods in half, for example. The violence does not stop there. From the 1882 Chinese Exclusion Act, the first and only federal law to bar an entire ethnic group from entering this country, to the displacement and internment of Japanese Americans just a few decades later, all of this complicated and violent history continues to shape aspects of our life today, like who primarily lives where, and which ethnic communities make up the critical mass in which public schools, not to mention our private schools. As we attempt to do our small parts in recognizing the lands, it is our hope that Table Farm is one of the specific and concrete ways our community of faith is recommitting to revere and serve God in our day. And that Table Farm is here in Sacramento, and we also want to recognize and hold up Grace Garden in Davis, which is doing the same. We don't pretend either of those, Table Farm or Grace Garden, is a panacea. If it is a part of a larger arc of conflict resolution at all, really, it's inevitably, if it is, a small piece. But perhaps small pieces, small steps, are actually how we begin to commit and recommit our lives as individuals and as a community to revering and serving God today. We received our official notice of eviction this month from the Catholic Church and school, which has beautifully allowed us to grow food alongside our neighbors in order to give the food away to neighbors through an interfaith food partnership. They've put up even the fences now. Perhaps not entirely unlike the Israelite people in Joshua's day, Table Farm is being forced on the move as well, uprooted. And we too were left with a moment of decision. Will we continue to revere and serve God through this ministry by putting down roots in a new place? Or will this be the end? So we had to sit with that for a while. Our administrative board has chosen to revere and serve God by continuing to center this ministry as part of our community of faith's ongoing hope for reaching in love and joining with God's reconciling movement in the world. What does it look like then to stand for just a few more weeks on the sacred ground of Table Farm in Hollywood Park as we prepare to tend the sacred ground in a new location down the road a bit, part called Florin Creek Park? So in part, we're feeling kind of sad. Our little plot of land, we are connected to her. Volunteer teams are harvesting the last crops, right, from those rows, and beginning soon, we'll pull up roots and level the beds. And we're hoping that Pastor Matt's lost wedding ring might turn up in one last plowing. Never know. Like Joshua gathered the people in Shechem, we will invite our community to gather and give thanks for the land's abundance and care over these last years, and we'll bless it evermore. We're going to do that sometime this fall when we get to the end, and we'll invite everybody. And we're in the early moments of discerning what it looks like to truly listen to the new lands we'll be connecting with in collaboration with others at Florin Creek Park. Andy, who's our community gatherer at Table Farm, meets this week one of our partners on the sacred ground, staff from Southgate Rec and Park, Parks and Rec. Then she's going to meet with the Parkway Estates Neighborhood Association. And Janice, a community member from the neighborhood, wants us already to connect with Valley High. Judy Robinson has already initiated our connection with Daler High School, which is the closest high school, and a Boy Scout is busy mapping dimensions for a new wash station and identifying types of materials for their Eagle project. There's a teacher in Natomas who is potentially organizing high school students to imagine senior projects out at Table Farm, which would help us create a mural reflective of the farm and Southgate community, help us listen to and connect with the nearby neighbors, plan our crops, and explore irrigation possibilities. So clearly we are not alone. Andy and Kara and Mark Hanslick accompanied 10 high school students this summer at the farm, 4 apprentices and 6 fellows, and one of those apprentices, which is Lily, began as a fellow 2 years ago, then served as an apprentice last year and again this summer, and she's continuing to serve alongside Andy to the very last second as she's preparing to head off to school at Santa Clara University, where she's going to study environmental studies, environmental science, shaped in no small part by her years of work at the farm. And they have a student farm, which she's already connecting with. We hope to move our beautiful shed in the coming months, which was painted by our middle schoolers alongside local artist and muralist Jaya King. Jaya's got new murals out in Oak Park, if you see them. We're imagining a peaceful meditation space in our design. We're thrilled to integrate more accessible pathways and raised beds in parts of the new sacred ground to ensure better accessibility for everybody. And one more out-of-the-box partner we've found is called Farm From a Box. And you notice we're not using many pictures. Part of it is Farm From a Box has, it's that thing when you're not supposed to show pictures yet because it's not all done. You can't disclose, but we can talk about it. We have their permission. So Farm From a Box began in 2009 when two young adults from the U.S. helped to build a youth empowerment center in Kenya by modifying shipping containers to provide infrastructural support for education, health, and sport for local youth. And in this process, Scott and Brandy, the founders, realized another need in the community, which was access to fresh, nutrient-dense food. So they began exploring how to make the transportable plug-and-play model of a modified shipping container and help the community grow in their own food. A few years later, they had built an all-in-one kit. They called it Farm From a Box, which leveraged the shipping container and cutting-edge solar power technology to provide on-site refrigeration. Right now, we take all of our vegetables, once they're harvested, they have to be driven to a kind-hearted person who has a refrigerator station that is letting us use that for free all these years. So they have a cutting-edge technology to provide on-site refrigeration connected with irrigation in both rural, developing parts of the world and also on urban farms like Table Farm. There's one of them at the refugee farm in West Sacramento. At this moment, we will soon be one of the very few farms in the whole world, if not the very first, to be in this smallest iteration prototype of their brand new technology. So this new Farm From a Box, instead of containers, which are getting really hard to find and very expensive to ship, they have created blocks that are made entirely from recycled water bottles, which uses 30 to 50% less water to create an irrigation system that is entirely solar powered and is being custom designed just for our little farm and will allow us to expand in the future. My daughter's over here, who's an environmental scientist, and I'm going, whoop! Doesn't that make you happy, Fia? Yeah, I know. For generations and generations, followers of Jesus have imagined we could revere and serve God disconnected from the land, unrooted to sacred ground. Friends, we do so. We worship the very same false gods when we do that, which Joshua warned against in Shechem. The legacy of this distorted theology separates us from sacred ground and also lies beneath the violent, tragic conflicts among peoples, which people like our soon-to-be Bishop Sandy have devoted their whole lives to healing. Indeed, conflict resolution is a long, sometimes overwhelming journey. We cannot undo all of the harm in a single act, but we can choose once again to recommit our lives to revering and serving God in ways that take seriously Joe Harjo's call to set conflict resolution ground rules. So I'm going to close with this poem again. Recognize whose lands these are which we stand. Ask the deer, turtle, and the crane. Make sure the spirits of these lands are respected and treated with goodwill. The land is a being who remembers everything. You will have to answer to your children and theirs. The red shimmer of remembering will compel you up the night to walk the perimeter of truth for understanding. As I brushed my hair over the hotel sink to get ready, I heard, by listening, we will understand who we are in this holy realm of words. Do not parade, pleased with yourself. You must speak in the language of justice. Amen. As we seek to recognize the land on which our feet are planted this day, we are mindful of our responsibility to care for all of God's creation. And so we pause to pray a prayer of confession, and I invite us to stand in body or spirit for that, to remind ourselves out loud of our commitment and our responsibility to reach in love in this way.
Our prayer of confession comes to us from Native American scholar and activist Vine Deloria's God is Red. Let us join our hearts and voices in this prayer of confession. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a new supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land? Hear these words of assurance which come to us from a first century prayer by Clement of Rome. Show yourself to those in need. Heal the sick. Fill the hungry. Give freedom to our prisoners. Console the faint-hearted. This way of Christ's beauty and love is yours this day and evermore. Amen.
And let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church through the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Amen. Turn and share with your neighbor brief signs of peace. Inexhaustible springs. You said, let us make humanity in our own image. You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment and bodies endowed with the five senses and with movement, and you brought us into this paradise of delights, but we scorned your commandment. You rightly thrust us forth from paradise, but you did not wholly reject us in our lost state, and you promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Fire of compassion descended and took up residence in the bread. See, fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. See, fire and spirit are in the river in which you were baptized. Fire and spirit are in our baptismal font. In the bread and in the cup are fire and Holy Spirit.
Christ is risen.
Has been newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood too has been poured into our veins. Christ's voice is in our ears. Christ's brightness in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ has been mingled with the whole of us. Into prayer together with the words Jesus shared with his disciples as they are paraphrased for this day in the New Zealand prayer book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts
on us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We will share this meal here in this sanctuary, in the front and in the back. And if you are online, we invite you to bring close to you now what you will use for your bread and your juice. We want everyone to know that each week there are those among us for whom this is something really different and new, and that's A-okay. There are some among us for whom this is a life practice. Most of us are somewhere in between. But always, every week, we remind you that there's nothing you can do to make a mistake. We watch over one another in love, and we are in God's divine dance together. There are places to pray around the perimeter of the sanctuary and to light a candle if you are so moved. It is also always okay to stay right where you are in the pew as we all together lift each other up into this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
for those who are still praying, please take all of the time that you need with all of that. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Amen. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously in support of the ministries here at the table. Your generosity always helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply with God's fierce love in the world, which is already at loose among us. Remember that there is Rise Up Bread outside. Today is the last day to submit your online order for September. If you order it online for the month of September, then you pick it up outside there, and you don't have to stand in line or anything like that. This afternoon at 4 p.m. at Davis, there will be a blessing and sending of Bishop Kristen as she goes on her way to Colorado. We want folks to remember that we are moving towards baptism at the end of October, and so there is an orientation after 11 a.m. worship on September 8th. You can find all the information of that online on our website. And Growing in Faith, our new beta test group, is almost full. I think it's full, actually, and so we'll be... Just pray for us. I don't know how it's going to work. It's going to work. We've got help, and it's going to work. So Brendan, take the mic with me. I have a blessing of a person. Okay, Brendan's doing sound this morning, so I have to tell him where I'm moving. We always say that the life of the church, there is comings and there are goings, and Mia, where are you? There, come up here, sweetie. Hi, Hudson, you can sit down with Mama for now, and then we'll get some bread. Okay, hi. I can't hug you because I got two hands full, but for those of us who have never met Mia in person, this is lovely Mia Lederer, who has been helping in our nursery, working diligently, and we are really grateful for her. And how dare she, but she's going on to college. Yes. Yeah. She graduated earlier this summer and will be moving now across the country to, you wanna say it?
Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yes, yes. It's a smaller college, but I already know two young women who are there from last year, early graduates last year, so you will be joined by some Sacramento-type people there. So, you know, we have shared with Mia. We have watched and listened as she has grown in so many ways. She used to be shorter, for example. Together, we've laughed and worked side by side, and so I want to say... some words, these words, and then up on the screen, Ansel, can you help us with the people's response here? There. So let us stand as we are able and share these words together. To Mia, we feel sorrow in your leaving, yet we rejoice with you in anticipation of this new phase of your life. We will miss your presence, yet we know you will add much to the lives of those who will be your new family at Mount Holyoke, as you have added much to our lives. We will pray for you and for all of us as you take this next step. And from where you are, I'd love for you to extend your hand like that. And yeah, I'm going to try and do it together this way. Let us pray. Loving God, you watch over us in love with mercy and grace. And we place Mia into your hands, who is leaving us. Keep and preserve her in all health and safety, both of body and of soul and of spirit. May she continue to grow and flourish as she takes this next step in her large life. May she go in peace, and may our prayers go with her. Let's all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah. We're going to continue in worship, yeah, with our closing song. Is not lost. We are God's people. This is God's land. May our roots that are deeply embedded in it support our wings as we fly, so that we may enjoy and love and care for the ground that God has given us as we scatter seeds of peace this day and into God's future. Go in peace.
Who's